Lord Jesus seemed to be alarmist, doomsday talk. I'm doing all right, you are doing all right. What's all this talk about the world coming to the end and Jerusalem being destroyed? Oh, alarmist talk, unnecessary. Yet the Lord Jesus repeatedly warned them and they wouldn't listen. And I suspect that many people today regard all this talk about the end as alarmist, unnecessary, particularly for those of us in Canada. I mean, life is okay here. We're not complaining. So why do we want to talk about the end? Well, whether we like to talk about it or not, I am telling you what God's plan is. That is my task. And what you do with it is your business, just as what the Jews did with the Lord's warning was their business. But when it came, then they realized what he spoke was true, though they realized it was too late. Now in chapter 23 and verse 38 of Matthew, you have this word, "Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate." The word desolate, in Greek, eremos, the same word for desert. That's where the word desolate comes from. It is like a desert. This fertile place, this bountiful land will be turned into a desert. Maybe if you are not careful, your own life will be turned into a desert by the judgments of God. Either God's blessing brings abundance to your life, or it will bring desolation, ruin, destruction. That is the warning of those who do not, concerning those who do not repent. This same word, desolate, occurs also in Luke chapter 21, verse 20. And let me read that important verse to you too. Luke 21, verse 20. And this is what we read. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is at hand. You will see Jerusalem." You people that I am talking to, the Lord Jesus says, you will live, many of you, long enough to see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. Then you will know when I speak to you, that I speak to you the truth. Then you know that its desolation has come near. This word desolation, as I pointed out to you, this word is exactly the word that the prophet Jeremiah used again and again. In Jeremiah, you'll find this word in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7, for example. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11 and 34. Jeremiah 22 and verse 5. Jeremiah 32 and verse 4. Jeremiah 51, verses 6 and 22. And you can see how frequently it occurs. Right through Jeremiah, in other words, he is constantly warning Israel, you will be turned into a desolation because of your disobedience to the Lord. God is going to wipe you out. Do you understand my message? And they didn't understand his message. They said, nonsense. This kind of talk is nonsense. We are doing all right. Everything is fine. Of course, Jeremiah was right. In 586 BC, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar advanced upon Jerusalem. Vast armies. The armies of Babylon. Oh, there was a sight to behold. Flashing in the sun in gold and silver, bronze and steel. There was the march, the magnificent army of Babylon advancing on Jerusalem. Soon they saw all Jerusalem surrounded with armies. And Babylon, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, reduced Jerusalem to ashes, literally down to the ground to ashes. Yes, when Jeremiah talked, they said, "You're alarmist. This is all rubbish. Let's not listen to this. Israel is doing fine." We don't like listening to warning. We don't like to be warned. Even as a child, we didn't like to be warned. But unfortunately, it was true. And the Lord Jesus is using exactly the same word that Jeremiah used. That desolation that your fathers experienced, you will experience as you fill up the measure of your fathers. The same thing is going to happen to you. You understand? And they didn't understand. How often would I have gathered you with under my wings as chicks are gathered by the hen? But you wouldn't. Therefore, your house is left to you desolate. Now here then, finally, let us consider the framework of the Lord's teaching of the last things. What is the framework of the whole matter? Here in these last verses of Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus gives us a kind of framework by which we can get an outline of the whole picture of things. You see, the Jews are a kind of spiritual barometer for us. Israel has been all the time God's barometer in the world, by which you can see how close to the end of things we are. They serve just as this kind of a thermometer or barometer. And we can look at the Middle East and we can see just how close to the point of boiling things are at this time. All the time we seem to be sitting on the knife edge, on the razor's edge, if you like, of war. We just don't know what's going to happen. We're always taken by surprise. Suddenly, the Israeli jets have knocked out an atomic reactor or atomic research station in Iraq. Well, it's always full of surprises. Next morning you look at it and suddenly something has happened again. Everything is sudden. Suddenly destruction comes. What do we know? Suddenly Iraq may make a counterattack on Israel, and the next thing we know, we've got a full-scale war going in the Middle East. I still remember the surprise. I wonder if you can remember the Six-Day War. You got up next morning and you discovered the whole Middle East was in flames and nearly dragging in all the superpowers. And we never know when that will happen. So Israel serves as a spiritual barometer of just how close to that measure is being filled up, how close is the end arriving. Four things we can speak about as the framework for the Lord's teaching of the last things. And then into that framework we can fit in other details. The first thing is here, as we look at this passage, is this. He prophesies and predicts that he will be rejected by the Jewish nation. That is still true now. Still true now. The second thing he says is that as a result of this, the Jews would be forsaken for a certain period of time. This period of time is called in Luke chapter 21, the time of the Gentiles. During that period of time, the Jews will be forsaken by God. Thirdly, during this time, they will not see him. That means to say that when they see him again, then this time of being forsaken will be over. And fourthly, there will come a time when they will turn back to him. They will repent. There will be a change of heart. You see that in verse 39. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you will see me again. When will you see me again? Until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are the words in the Hebrew. I still remember when I was in Israel, in my student days, how I went into a church, a Jewish church. It was a very rare thing to find a church of Jewish Christians. And there were exactly these words I always remember, right across there in Hebrew on the wall. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? What is this? How are we to understand these words? Well, these words come from Psalm 118, verse 26. Let me read to you Psalm 118. And verse 26, of course, reads like this. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. The RSV has translated, who enters in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Now, this psalm is part of what is known as the Hallel. Hallel is spelled H-A-L-L-E-L. And Hallel, I think you will know what it means, because it comes, as you know, the word Hallelujah. It means praise be to God. So Hallel means praise. So Psalm 118 was the closing passage of the praise, the Hallel, which was sung, and this is the point of it, which was sung during the killing of the Passover lambs at the Passover. Why? Because, of course, it was the Passover lamb which was the deliverance for the people of Israel from Egypt. That is, when the destroying angel came to destroy the people in Egypt, all those who had the blood of the lamb covering them were not destroyed. And it is in remembrance of this that the Hallel was sung. Very significant. In other words, when we put this back into Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus is saying, you will not see me again until you will sing the words of the Hallel, which you sing when the Passover lamb is being sacrificed. When you recognize, as Paul says, that Christ is the Passover. He is the redemption for our sins. His blood covers us. His blood cleanses us from sin. His blood protects us from the destruction of the destroying angel. You will not see me again until you recognize that I died for your sins. You will not see me again until you sing the messianic words. You see, this whole psalm is a messianic psalm. It is a psalm sung in anticipation of the Messiah. Look at verse 21, for example. It is a psalm of salvation. Verse 21 of chapter 100, the Psalm 118. In that same psalm, verse 21, I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. When God will become our salvation, then we can sing the words of this psalm. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 22, of course, is a verse constantly quoted in the New Testament, as you will remember. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Quoted many times in the New Testament. And most importantly is this. The words, blessed be he who comes. He who comes is in fact a title of the Messiah. He is the coming one. He will come again. And in fact, the Jews could speak of the Messiah simply by the words, he who comes. That was the name for the Messiah. And in fact, he is spoken of in this way already in the New Testament many times. For example, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. Matthew John, chapter 11, verse 27. Etc., etc. He is constantly spoken of. The Messiah is called the one who comes. So the point of all this then, when we return to Matthew 23, is quite clear. You will not see me again until you recognize me as being your Savior, your Messiah, the Messiah, your King. So these are the basic four stages that we find in the framework. And this is the point at which what Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, when all Israel will be saved, when there will be a change of heart, when the words of Ezekiel 36, where the prophet says, I will take your stony heart from you and put a new heart into you. There will be a change of heart when Israel will turn from their rejecting of the Messiah on that day, which is still future, when they will accept Jesus as their King. So here we must close for today, and let me therefore briefly summarize these very important points. The fact that things are moving on towards the end today is because God cannot tolerate an unlimited measure of sin. Neither in the individual, nor in the nation, nor in the world can he tolerate this. That when evil reaches a certain point, God's judgment will come swiftly. But until then, he remains patient and compassionate. What about yourself at this time? How do you stand in relation to God? He has given you much chance to repent. Whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, are you testing his patience? Or are you living the kind of life that, as Betty was sharing with us, shows a willing spirit, a readiness to obey him, to follow him, so that you may have the joy of his salvation? Where is your position today? Remember this, the words of the Lord Jesus never fail. I have served the Lord for over 20 years. I have never once seen his word fail. Never once. What he says will come to pass. What he promises he will do if you fulfill his condition. Never once does it fail. And I know too that when he says the end will come, it will come. And we shall see in the next few weeks, as we continue to study the Lord's teaching, what are the events leading up to it? What are the things which will show that the measure is being filled up? Let us therefore be most responsive and open to his word. Let us be quiet now for prayer.